What is the lesson of Jesus's parable that we sometimes call the wicked vine dressers? That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad that you've decided to join us because we're right in the middle of one of my favorite series so far, which is on the parables of Jesus. Jesus's parables are often misunderstood, and when misunderstanding comes from those parables, then it gets taught from the pulpit. That's why our discussion leaders, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, are explaining their way through these amazing stories of Jesus. Here's Grace in Focus.
We're so glad that you're with us to continue this series of studying Jesus's parables, these very powerful short teachings, but extremely powerful, very suggestive teachings. Sometimes they can be confusing or at least challenging teachings, and Right. They were meant to be.
Right.
Parables were meant to be challenging to the people hearing them.
And even to believers today, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not all truth in Scripture just jumps out at us. Sometimes we have to meditate and think about it and pray about it.
Right. There's value in being a Berean, really searching the Scriptures.
Right.
That's a noble thing to do. That's something that God values. So we're trying to be Bereans about these parables. We're trying to search the Scriptures. We're trying to understand what Jesus is saying here. This next parable comes to us from Mark chapter 12. I don't think we've done anything in Mark yet, but it also appears in Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 and 46, and Luke 20, 9 to 19. But we're going to look at the Mark 12 version of this parable from verses 1 to 12. All right, it's called the Parable of the Wicked Vine Dressers. Now, what's a vine dresser?
Well, a vine dresser would be someone who worked the vines for the grapes, and they had to have people who would trim them back. They had to throw away any dead branches. They would prune them back so they would grow more. They would put them up on trellises so that if they were too low to the ground, they would do that. So the vine dresser was someone who took care of the vine. It was a very important role in
right.
Israel. And by the way, in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, we have this same basic teaching. Jesus is building off of that Isaiah 5 section where it talks about Israel being God's vine and vine dressers, and it also there talks about judgment. So,
okay, interesting.
One of the commentators mentions that part of this is history and part of this is prophecy as Jesus is teaching.
Chapter 12, verse 1. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. So it's like he's building out this land into like a functioning vineyard,
right?
And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. So he's like, oh, you guys take care of this. And I don't know how that arrangement would have worked. So it's like, here's my land. And you're going to pay me a portion of the proceeds? What's happening?
Right. That's the illustration. Of course, Israel is this group of vine dressers. And ultimately, this looks to the time before Messiah came.
Right.
When Messiah would make some cameo appearances in the Old Testament in pre-incarnate form, but he wasn't permanently present
right.
until the incarnation. And even then, he wasn't permanently present because, as we're going to see in this parable, they're going to kill him.
Right.
Then he will leave and return again. And when he does, then he'll be permanently present.
Right. And it's probably good to mention that just prior to this, Jesus is having his authority questioned by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. So these are the religious authority, and they are questioning the Messiah, and they don't believe in the Messiah. And they're wondering, where are you getting this authority? And they're being very snarky with him.
They understand, by the way, when we get to the end, to verse 12, they understand he was talking about them.
Right.
When he tells this parable.
Right. So the vine dressers are the religious establishment.
Right.
Maybe the vineyard is Israel, and the religious establishment, they're supposed to take care of Israel. Right.
And they're supposed to be producing a wonderful harvest.
Right.
They're supposed to be making a profit for the Lord and pleasing the Lord. Instead, they're doing just the opposite. Whenever he sends messengers to them, they reject the messengers.
Right. So that's verse 2. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. So he goes, he doesn't come himself. He sends a servant to go get some of the grapes.
And this looks at some of the Old Testament prophets who were calling upon Israel to produce good works.
Right. So you'd expect, as per their deal, that the servant would get some of the fruit and everything would be peaceful and there'd be just a peaceful exchange and capitalism would be at work here.
Right.
But no, at verse 3, what do we find? And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. So they just took this guy and they just beat him up.
And if you look at the history of the Old Testament prophets, Israel, for the most part, did not treat its prophets well. They often would mistreat and even kill the Old Testament prophets.
Mm-hmm.
They would throw him. Jeremiah was thrown in a pit, and life was threatened and would have been killed if the intervention hadn't taken place, and that was true with many of the prophets.
Verse 4, and he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. So that's even worse than the first guy. I mean, stoning is, if you want to kill someone, you stone them.
The stakes are going up.
Right. Verse 5, and again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Man, this owner has a lot of patience. I don't know if it's patience or what's going on here, but he's sending his servants to be... I wouldn't want to be one of these servants, personally.
Right, but then he goes even further.
Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them at last, saying, well, they'll respect my son.
Now, here Jesus is talking about himself.
Himself, right? Yeah. Because the scribes and Pharisees were just challenging his authority, and so now he's talking about himself.
And this is where Plummer says it moves from history. Jesus has been talking about history to prophecy. At this point, Jesus knows what's about to happen, knows they're going to kill him, and he's going to submit to that. And so he tells them about that.
Right. So they killed and they beat the servants. Let's see what they'll do to the son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard.
Now, Whoa. Some people think that means they cast him out of Jerusalem and that he was crucified outside of Jerusalem, which was true. But John Grasmick in the Bible Knowledge Commentary thinks that's pressing the details a bit too far.
Yeah.
But the point is, they kill him, that's clear.
Well,
and this is prophetic.
It's interesting that here the vineyard, there's a hedge around the vineyard, there's a tower. So it sounds like more like a city.
A walled city,
Maybe it could be Jerusalem, I don't know. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others.
Okay, now most commentators think, and I would agree, this refers to AD 70.
Right.
And what this means is the promised land is going to be vacated of Israel. The temple's going to be destroyed. Temple worship is going to be destroyed. The Jewish people are going to be dispersed, and they're not going to come back to the promised land until they do so after World War II. And even then, it's not going to be all Jews from around the world, but just a remnant of Jews from around the world. So we still anticipate a day when Israel will come back, but right now, the land between the 33 AD and 1948, the land was possessed by non-Jews during that time. And even today, it's not uniformly held by the Jewish people. I mean, much of it is held by Israel, but some of it's held by Hamas and some of it's held by
the Palestinians. So just for people to know, what happened in 70 AD, was it 66 to 70 AD?
The Jewish War.
The Romans were finally fed up with Israel's rebellions, and the Romans lay siege to Jerusalem, and they destroyed it, and they desecrated the temple, and they killed over a million Jewish people who were walled up in Jerusalem, and then they took the rest into captivity. That's what the Romans did. If you have troublemakers in a place, you take them out of that place, and you disperse them all throughout the empire. So that's what happened within less than 40 years of Jesus' resurrection.
Now, we might say that the vineyard now no longer represents Israel, but the vineyard now represents the world of ministry, and this could look to the church. Some of the commentators suggest this looks to Romans 11, where you've got this wild olive tree that's grafted into the natural olive tree, and the wild is the church, and Israel is the natural tree. So it could be this is looking to the church, and we're the new vine dressers until God fulfills his promises to Israel after the tribulation.
Have you not read this scripture? This is Jesus continuing in verse 10.
And he changes the figure of speech now from a vine and a vine dresser and a son to a cornerstone.
Right. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away.
And this is a reference from Psalm 118. Basically, Jesus is the chief cornerstone which Israel rejected, but one day Israel will accept.
Right.
And so right now we're the people who are called upon to bring forth fruit which is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
One day soon Israel will heed that call, and Israel will come to faith, and Israel will be a believing nation. But the religious leaders were particularly culpable, because they understood he spoke this parable about them. They knew he was prophesying his own death. They knew he was saying that he's the Son of God and that they're going to kill him and that God's going to give the vineyard to others for the time being. Shouldn't they have responded in repentance and faith?
Well, this really shows a lack of self-reflection on their part, because he just said the owner sends his son, and they plan, let's lay hands on him and kill him. And then it says in the text, and they sought to lay hands on him. Like they were ready to kill him right there, but for fear of the crowd.
This is a lot like what Adam and Eve did when they wanted to eat the forbidden fruit so they could gain special knowledge. Here they want to kill the heir so they can take over the vineyard. And they're thinking somehow they can introduce peace in Israel apart from God's doing. We serve the cornerstone. We serve the Son of God. We serve the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your life is meaningful and purposeful if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ each day. If you believe in him, you have everlasting life. If you serve him, you'll have fullness of life now and in the life to come.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion on the meaning of the wicked vine dressers. That should be a warning for us all. Well, maybe you liked what you heard in this episode. I know I did. If you're like me, then I would highly encourage you to take a little time and come visit us at our website, where we go way deeper than this radio show ever could. We have all kinds of free resources on our site. We've got a magazine that carries the same name as this show, Grace and Focus Magazine. You can get it completely free. We've got teaching videos. You can watch those for free. We've got our podcast, which keeps you up to date on the most recent episodes, but also allows you to listen to past episodes whenever you like. This and much, much more is available for you, all designed to help you grow and mature in your faith. I want to send a special call out to those who are hearing us in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on KAAM radio. That's 770 AM. Thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing. Now, if you're hearing us in Dallas or Fort Worth, I hope that you'll reach out to us. The way to do that is to send us an email. Give us some Texas-style feedback. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've got what is hopefully going to be a wonderful weekend ahead of us, but when we come back from the weekend break, we're going to talk about the four soils as we continue our series on the parables. So tune in on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until Monday, let's keep grace in focus.